Joey, don't worry. I got you. Man. I really was afraid to preach this because it hurt my heart. I'm going to tell a story that really hurt me, and this is a fresh wound. Jesus, be with us tonight. I want to read from Matthew. And I want to read a story that none of you have ever heard today in the last 5 minutes. Matthew 8 and 23 says, "Then when he got into the boat and his disciples followed him," this is Jesus, "then when he got into the boat and his disciples followed him, without warning, a furious storm came upon the lake, so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him, saying, 'Lord, save us, we're going to drown.' He replied, 'You,'" and this is the very most important part that I want you to listen to tonight, "'he replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid?' Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm." Now, most of the time when we use these verses to preach, we want to talk about the power of Jesus and how Jesus was so powerful that he could tell the wind and the waves to be quiet, and they would, and that's great, and that's a great thing to preach on. Man, come on. But tonight, I want to talk about that. Those words he used, little faith, you of little faith. If you read through the book of Matthew, Jesus says, "you of little faith," three times to his disciples. This is not something that he just accidentally said in that particular instance. This is something that he said frequently. We all have things that we say. In my profession, I listen to a lot of preachers, and they all have something that I can identify them by. If you just wrote it down and I couldn't hear their voice and I couldn't see them, I would know who that preacher was, because they all have something they say. When I used to preach, we used to have amateur night on Sunday nights, and sometimes I still think we do, because I preach almost every Sunday night now. I used to get up here and I would preach. And one day we were riding in the car, and my wife and her sister were with me, and I was talking about my message, and Brittany says to me, she says, "You know, you say listen a lot." And I said, "No, I don't." And she said, "Yeah, you do." And I was like, "I don't think I do." And then Chastity, uninvited, joined into the conversation. And she said, "Yeah, you do." And I was like, "Okay, nobody asked you, first of all." And I said no. And we had an actual argument over whether or not I say listen too many times while I'm preaching. And so so Brittany went and got the CD. And have you ever seen, like, two icebergs crash into each other? That's what it's like at our house. If it's like nobody wins an argument. The argument just kind of gives up on itself. No. And so she got the CD and listened to it, and she said, "Hey, I want to tell you something." And I was like, "You love me?" And she said, "Well, yeah, but." And she said, "I listened to your sermon." I said, "Did you get saved?" She said, "Shut up." She said, "I counted how many times you said listen." I said, "You did?" She said, "Yeah." 75 in 30 minutes of speaking. So that's a lot. But anyway, so there's something that most people have a word that they kind of get stuck on, that they kind of say a lot. And so we know that Jesus used this language intentionally. He said, "You of little faith." He wanted to make sure that they knew what faith was, that faith was a big deal to them, because he knew that faith has to be a big deal. I want to tell you a story. And this is an ongoing story. This is not something that happened a long, long, long time ago. This is something that just happened. I just found this out like 3 days ago. Brittany and I, we used to watch a show. It was kind of a morning show, and there's these two guys, and they're really silly, and they do kind of little silly challenges, and it's a fun show that we watch, and it's a kind of a wholesome show. They never swore. They never, you know, showed anything really racy. Just a really kind of a wholesome show. It was, some of you probably may have watched it. It's called Good Mythical Morning. It used to come on. It still comes on. It's a YouTube show. Comes on every single day, every morning. And so we watched it. Man, we really enjoyed it. And so we watched this show, and we found out that the two hosts of this show, their names are Rhett McLaughlin and Link Neal, and they're both Christians. And I said, "Hey, man, you know, I've got some kinship with those two guys." And I just felt that. You know, you always think it's neat when you find out, like, an athlete is a Christian. You say, "Hey, I've got kinship with that person. We're cousins, right? That person's my brother in Christ." And so so we thought, "Oh, that's neat. We have a kinship with them." And so we followed their show. We watched their show. They had a book, and I was like, "Man, I want to buy their book." We even thought about going and seeing them. They had a tour. They kind of did a little comedy tour where they went all over the country. We were going to go see them. Well, last week, I heard some bad news out of these two guys. And I saw a blog post online. And both these guys are Christians. And it said, the title said, "The Deconstruction of Our Faith." And I thought, what? So I immediately clicked in. And I clicked through. And both of these two guys that, honestly, I kind of, you know, they were kind of heroes of the faith for me, man, because they did a lot of great things. They were missionaries. Both of them said that they don't believe in Jesus anymore. And that hurt. Still hurts. Hurts right now. Because I really, really, you know, and that might sound silly. Oh, it's a celebrity. You'll never meet them in your life. But to see somebody that was that positive turn away from the faith shocked me. It messed me up. And so tonight I wanted to talk and I wanted to be real, because out of those two guys, the one that shocked me the most was Rhett, because I love science. I'm a nerd. And the more that I learn about our universe and the way that everything is constructed, and I say constructed, but the more I learn about our universe and its vastness, the more I see the fingerprints of an intelligent creator. The more I see that God put everything exactly the way he wanted it. And so one of these guys, Rhett, he says that the biggest reason that he fell away from the faith was because he couldn't find God in science. He couldn't find archaeological evidence of the Hebrews in Egypt. He couldn't find historical evidence of Jesus. And that shocked me. And so I thought, you know what? We really need to face this as a church. He said the biggest thing that happened was he couldn't find answers in the church. The church was afraid to embrace him and say, "We understand that you have doubts. We understand that you have troubles." Unfortunately, the people that he knew, the people that he looked to as Christian mentors, couldn't do that for him. And that shocked me. That shocked me that we could still be there as a church. That someone could fall away because they have questions and we're afraid to answer them. Or we're afraid to not be able to answer them. That shocked me. And it messed me up. It hurt my heart. Anytime that someone turns away from the faith, it hurts my heart. But someone that I followed, you know, they were kind of an everyday thing. Man, it shocked me. But the thing that they did was they turned to man. And so I want to focus tonight on turning to Christ and being undaunted in our faith. No matter what you face, Jesus is there. No matter what you face, Jesus knows, Jesus hears, Jesus sees, and Jesus feels. And so if we're afraid and we're hurt, tragedy messes us up, ruins our lives, we can still focus on Christ. And we say that so much, but do we really believe it? We preach these things weekly almost, but do we really believe it? When we're at our bottom, do we really embrace our faith? Do we really embrace Christ? Do we? So the first thing that happens when these guys are in the boat, I want to use this word, the word for storm here, the Greek word is seismos, and it means quake or thunder. That's the first thing that happened. So we know this was a thunderstorm. It just didn't just rain a little bit. Didn't just the wind blow a little bit. The thunder was cracking. It was rumbling. My son, if it thunders in the middle of the night, get ready, because that dude is about to dive. I mean, he's about to swan dive, cannonball you in the face, and jump into bed with you. So you better just get ready, because it scares him. And thunder will freak you out. And it's usually not going to hurt you, but it's going to let you know that something's coming. Thunder is not going to hurt you, but it's going to freak you out. It's going to scare you and let you know that something bigger is on the horizon. Listen to thunder. Oftentimes, you will see white men, when it gets really bad weather outside, go outside and sit in chairs. I don't know why we do it, but we do it. Drive by my father-in-law's house when it's pouring down rain, and a lot of times he'll be out there in his garage. Sometimes, you know, there's a guy on KTBS, Storm Tracker 3, he is on your side. And sometimes when he gets on there and he gets the radar going, and I see that all that green and the orange and the red, I watch it and it kind of worries me a little bit. But Lord have mercy, when they say,
find cover immediately.
What do? I go sit on the porch. Brittany knocks on the screen door. She says, what are you doing? I said,
I'm looking at the rain.
Why do we do that? Oftentimes, if it's in the middle of the day and you're out and you can hear thunder coming, you look and you can see. In fact, we saw a little bit today as this front was moving in. You can see that on the horizon. And sometimes it's scary looking because those clouds are just black. And you know that's bad. You know there's a lot of badness coming your way. So I want to challenge you tonight. When you hear or feel that thunder, pay attention to it. That's the first thing the disciples did. When it started thundering, they said, we got to get Jesus. And the wind came after that. The waves came after that. The first thing they saw was thunder. Was so far away. In fact, when we went to, we took the youth group down to Florida one year, and we stayed right on the beach, and it was just such a fun trip that we got to, you know, we had this opportunity to take these young people and let them experience something. A lot of these kids never been to the beach before, and our mission in that was, you know, we wanted them to experience something like that as a child rather than having to only do it as an adult where they got to pay for everything. And so we had the opportunity to do that, to take those children down there. And something that we did was, or something that I like to do was sit on the balcony of our little condo. And at night, I would just watch. And miles out, you would see lightning. Miles and miles away. Don't you know that sometimes your spirit can see something, can see the lightning, can see the storm far away? And you get it. The Holy Spirit warns you. Listen to that thunder. And at the first sign, embrace your faith. At the first sign, embrace your faith and hold on. Remember that Satan is a liar. Remember that. Satan is an absolute liar. He is the king of lies. He is the father of lies. And the best thing that he can do to ruin you is to infiltrate your faith. The best thing that he can do to shut you down is infiltrate your faith. Make you have small doubts, because small doubts become big doubts. And sometimes it doesn't take very long. When I listen to one of these two guys, these two men that have left the faith, when I listened to one of them, he began to talk about that. He said he had small doubts because he had questions. It's okay for you to have questions. I have questions. It's not normal if you don't have questions. Questions are normal, okay? We're curious as people. But the small questions became huge doubts. And those huge doubts caused him to go to the wrong place for help. And the devil is a liar. And the devil is an infiltrator. And that's the best way for him to ruin your faith. 1 Peter 5:6-7 says that the devil is a liar. It says the devil is like a lion seeking whom he may devour. We all know that verse. You know, a lion is a cunning animal. It's also a hungry animal. It's a ferocious animal. It's an apex predator. So I want you to always remember that. When you're facing something, remember that we are constantly under attack as people of God. When you're having a bad day, don't forget to pray about it. Don't forget to give that to Jesus, because your bad day might not just be a bad day. It might be a successful attack from Satan. Before we sang these songs, I'm going to admit I had a little bit of an attitude. I was standing here and I just wasn't feeling it. Have you ever just didn't feel it? I didn't feel it. Christina picked these songs out tonight. And when we were singing Good, Good Father, and I looked down and I saw that. I've seen many searching for answers far and wide. That is the number one reason that this man left his faith, because he wanted answers. When I saw that, it broke me. And I said, in my heart, I thought, Jesus, I apologize. I repent for my attitude. I repent for not trusting you. But I just want to challenge you tonight. I know this is not a typical Elevate. This is not a funny, joking, lighthearted service. But you know what? Christianity is not always lighthearted. Life is not always fun. Sometimes we get a curveball. We don't see it coming, and it smacks us directly in the nose. Sometimes it ruins us. Sometimes it breaks us down. Destroys our homes, destroys our families. I want you to know that you're never alone. Not only do you have Jesus, not only do you have the Holy Spirit, you have a Father God that loves you so much. You're never alone, you're never forgotten, you're never forsaken. But not only do you have them, but you also have fellow believers that are praying for you, that are believing with you, that are fighting the same battles that you are fighting. Don't you ever feel like you're alone. Don't you ever give up and say, well, I'm just out here by myself, because you are absolutely not. Don't do it. This messed me up. This absolutely messed me up. And I want to close with this. We know that Satan watches. We know that he waits. We know that he knows us. He knows what breaks us. He knows what triggers us. He knows He has the ability to formulate a battle plan to attack us. But do you know what Jesus said? Did Jesus say, run away from Satan? Did Jesus say, when the devil shows up, go hide? Did he say, when the devil shows up, be timid? No. He said, resist the devil, and he will flee. Resist. Don't be afraid. Don't back down. Resist. Stand your ground. You've got a solid rock that you can stand on. And so I just wanted to speak that into your lives tonight. I wanted to speak that, just that truth, that Christ is there for us, that we can embrace him. We can hold on to our faith. We don't have to be afraid. And even if we have doubts, even if we have questions, and the answers don't just come flying at us. We live in a Google society where if we want to know an answer, what do? Boom, Google it. Sometimes the answer is bigger than Google. Sometimes the mystery is deeper than Google. So I just wanted to speak that tonight. Resist. When you're fighting that battle, resist. Remember that you do have an enemy that's trying to take you down. And he's trying to take you down because you're God's kid. He hates God so much that he wants to attack his family. You're never alone. You're never forgotten. Keep the faith. Keep the fight. Let's stand together. Jesus, I just pray tonight that you pour out your Holy Spirit on each and every person in this room as we leave this place. God, that we would be blessed, that we would walk in your truth, that we would walk under your protection and follow your guidance. We believe in you. We love you. If we have doubts, God, I just pray that you give us a reassurance. Let us know that you are who you say you are, that we're never alone, we're never forgotten. And God, don't give us strength that even when doubt begins to creep in, we can rebuke it, we can resist it, we can rely on you. God, let us always turn our eyes to you and not listen to the world, not be sidetracked by the world. We pray all these things in your name. God, we ask for blessing. Amen. Elevate family, we love you. Leave blessed tonight.